It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
The Crohn's, they got chocolate-covered orange wedges. The juice just dribbles down your chin. The wedge of the actual fruit is covered with that thick, dark chocolate. You know?
Oh, boy. How'd you write this stuff one that I'm in a donut?
All right, calm down, fellas. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Crunchos.
877-365-3636. You see, in the bag, I think we did some good there.
Yeah,
we did.
Absolutely.
You tell a little tale. I think it's an instruction manual for all guys like me.
Right.
And
guys
who are fathers. You know, it's informative for everybody else in Radio Land.
We hope we've given fathers some good questions to ask young men.
Thought that was delightful. Mm-hmm. Without further ado, let's bring this gentleman onto the show. And, boy, is this somebody that I respect and admire. The man himself, the Woz, the wonderful Wizard of Woz, I Woz himself, billionaire. Founder of Apple, Steve Wozniak. Mr. Wozniak, how are you? Good to have you on the show.
Hi, great to be here, Mike. Some of that's actually true.
You know, the first question I would ask you before I get to the most important question, how is your love life? How's everything going? I know you're engaged, right?
We're kind of not talking about it. I might be married.
Might not.
I love this guy.
You might be looking for 8808. No.
You are the coolest.
You know what, Steve? Me too.
Yeah, me too.
We might be married. I don't know.
You know, we have a group of women that are the spokesmodels for this show, Steve, and they are called the Buzz Babes for our newsman, Buzz Burbank.
Aye.
And we're having our big party on the 8th. We don't have a venue yet, so, I mean, if you were available.
8808, if you want to come to the party.
I am a certified minister. I truly am.
No, you know. I appreciate that, but I'll be out in Indiana.
Indiana.
The Segway Woz Challenge Cup.
Polo, the Segway Polo team.
Cup International Finals.
Oh, right.
I would love to play Segway Polo. Is it exactly what it sounds like? I mean, it's just you replace the horsey with the Segway scooter?
Well, actually, I rode Segways before, and I thought it was going to be kind of a dumb, slow game and not that competitive. And no, it's real competitive. It's a lot of work. It's fun.
Is it annoying with all that you have accomplished in your life that some people actually at this stage of the game might only know you as Kathy Griffin's ex-boyfriend from that reality show?
Hold on. There's some music here playing.
I heard that, too.
Is that playing on your end or on my end?
Is it playing on my end real loudly.
Is it your iPod?
I get it.
Oh,
it can't be on my end. I mean, I can't. I'm not generating it.
You're not generating the music?
Well, that's odd.
No.
Neither are we.
All right, now can you hear me okay now,
yeah,
Steve?
Yeah, fine. Good.
Okay, good.
Should I ask the Kathy?
Something about Kathy Griffin.
Yes, I was saying, does that bother you? You're you seem like you're a very content man. You're content with your life. I was wondering if it would be annoying with all you've accomplished in your life that some people might only know you from that reality show.
No, I don't care. Tell you the truth, it's her show, and I really do it to help her. Just do it as a favor.
Right. You look like you enjoy
it. She produces it. She makes money off of it.
Right.
And, and I'm glad. I'm just glad. I told her when we first met, you can embarrass me all you want. You can humiliate me all you want. Denigrate me all you want. And I don't care. If it's for the humor, I'm for it.
Wow, that's nice. A good attitude. You look like you enjoyed yourself in the reality show world. It didn't bother you that much.
I just was myself. It was just pretty easy.
What is the state of...
Now, although some people... I haven't watched all the episodes, but a lot of people complimented me on how I kind of did a put-down of her assistance. We had to sell some T-shirts, and we barely sold any. Well, I figured out from a question Kathy had asked me that she was going to be the first person in my life to fire me on air.
Oh.
Because we didn't sell very many, and I knew it. So I went over. I quickly hustled over to the table where the lady was packing up the T-shirts,
right.
And I paid cash for 30 shirts and 20 pictures, a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then and nobody knew I'd done that, so I just had a little skit in my head. I mean, I didn't, come naturally. It wasn't the natural me, even. I just went up and started explaining to Kathy that I was so new at this, kind of getting set up so she'd say, well, you didn't sell any, you're fired. Uh-huh. And then I said, but I sold more than everyone.
And you can do that. That's that no problem for you. You know, it really. I liked both of you together, and I know that you can't base the. You know, you're looking at a television show. You have to remember that. But you did look good together, and you seem to have a good relationship. Are you still good friends?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we both like each other very much. I love somebody who's that quick with her mind and her thinking, the way she answers questions.
She's amazing when she's a performer, and that particular show that she has designed for herself works very well, and I'm glad to see that she's doing well. I want to ask you about technology, because I know nothing about technology, so I will ask you a very broad question, Mr. Wozniak. What is the state of technology now? Are we moving as fast as we should be as far as technological advances, inventions, whether they be gadgets or whether they are, you know, life-changing things that are being developed right now?
I think, we're moving faster than ever before in time, and, mm-hmm. you know, we continue to do so. We're not at a stagnant point where everything kind of settles out to what it is. I mean, you could say, computers haven't changed as much fast as they did in the early days, but they're still changing so greatly with, especially inventions and low-cost displays and things like that. What you get for how much, it's incredible that we've multiplied by about a billion times what you can afford since these small personal computers started.
Oh, that's true.
That means the software is at least millions of times more complicated, more to it, more that it's doing. And it's just unbelievable.
To put a finer
point. It's not like a human brain yet, though. We haven't gotten there.
And would you like it to be? In other words, to put a finer point on it, are we moving too fast, not fast enough, or just about right in your estimation?
Well, we're not going to get there to where it's a human brain, probably, possibly ever. We don't really understand the brain.
Right.
We can simulate little things and say, see, we made a device that can do something humans do. We simulated intelligence, so it's kind of like intelligence, but not really. I mean, it doesn't learn to make coffee the way a human being does.
Yeah, and that's you credited your teachers with helping move you along. How much do you think education played a part in your development? And that it's kind of a more general question as far, were you the whiz kid that would have been a whiz kid no matter what? Because you do refer to teachers in some of your writings that you say, this particular teacher pushed me into the right area. How important were educators in your life growing up?
I think teachers, as well as family, as well as friends, are an important source of giving you a sense of identity, who you are, what you're good at.
Uh-huh.
The praise that comes from a teacher makes you want to work harder in that area.
Right.
When you look back, most people who are successful in some kind of business or whatever, a lot of it didn't really come from school. It came from just learning on the streets, trying to make your own devices. It might have come from working in companies.
You were tinkering with electronics from a very young age, right? You were fascinated. Your dad was into it, right?
He was an electrical engineer, but he didn't push us in that direction. I myself was extremely good at it, and I wanted to do it all the time. Just build devices with friends and show them off. And nobody in school knew I was doing it. My parents didn't even know I was designing computers, nor my teachers.
Designing computers. When you were how young were you?
Mildly.
How young were you when you were designing your first computer type stuff?
Okay, well, my first computer things, I was in fourth grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade, building huge devices, hundreds of transistors on boards, nails pounded in. I look back and I can't believe I was doing such incredible things.
Yeah.
In high school, I was designing computer after computer after computer on paper. And these were things I could have been doing it for a company. I didn't know. I didn't know there were jobs designing computers.
Steve, I really think that when I was probably through middle school, I was still putting together the battleship that you would get with the model glue,
right,
and going down and putting it in the brook in back of my house and shooting it with a BB gun.
We did that too. I was in Silicon Valley, the land of electronics kids.
Right.
A lot of engineer parents, so that helped encourage us. We always went out and had the normal fun.
But it's like anything else. I mean, if you can throw a 98 mile an hour fastball, it's the same thing.
Right.
When you have the mind for that, obviously it motivates you, it clicks, and the tragedy I think in America sometimes is when somebody with your genius doesn't necessarily find the right path,
right,
and they might be wallowing in obscurity somewhere else doing something that is not related to a field. You obviously, this was the perfect marriage to be to co-found this incredible founder of the personal inventor of the personal computer. It's a pretty big deal. It really is.
That device, just based on what you could buy and my desires in life to have a computer, I was going to build it that year. The fact that that year it turned out to be worth so much was kind of an accident.
So the money part of it, and I know you're worth a gazillion dollars. I know that, but it just
I deny it.
It seems to me. Well, see that answer right there.
Good
you're
for
having
you.
Fun.
I never wanted money, and I never sought it, and I sought to get rid of it as quickly as I could have. And I was a good philanthropist, and I'm comfortable, but I'm not what they say I am.
So they're not. And as far as money is concerned, do you have, when you did come into a little bit of money, and I know you've done wonderful philanthropic work, but Were there certain toys that you said, hey, what the hell? I'm going to go for it. Just let me get this out of my system.
Something you had to have.
Yeah, splurge.
I would say just the first time ever when I had tons of money, I wanted to buy a nice car.
Yeah.
That's and fair. I didn't get a super car, but I got a nice car, nice little Porsche. And
how many payments
and I was able to buy
it?
My first house.
Not that
actually
big a deal.
Own a home in my life. That was pretty amazing.
You're very modest, but also you had a little, I guess it was 81. You had the problem with the Beechcraft where you took a little tumble in that one. What is the story behind that? Because that's the only other story that you hear a lot about Steve Wozniak, that you were flying this Beechcraft, you crashed it, you got temporary amnesia when this all happened. Do you remember more of that accident now?
Yeah, I had a long-term memory loss, which people call a short-term memory loss. In other words, I could not form long-term memories.
Okay.
So but my short-term memory worked perfectly. In other words, I could sit and have a conversation with you and know what we were talking about.
Right.
When I came out of the amnesia, to me, I never had a plane crash in my head. I have not one memory of it. I've gone under hypnosis, getting in another airplane and flying again. It was nothing. It was doing the same thing. There was no anxiety. So I was the luckiest to get hit that hard that I don't really know that I had a crash.
So to this day, you don't have that memory.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I don't have memory, and I also don't act like, oh, something bad happened in my life. I just wasn't there, and I wasn't in the hospital for the next 5 weeks. When I came out of amnesia, I found all these cards next to me on the bed, next to my bedside.
Wow.
They must have been there every day, and I must have just thought it was all the same day passing.
You're very lucky again.
So do you read about it, and is that how you, and people, obviously, you do interview shows, and people ask you about it. So you read about it. Are you reading about, my God, it must be a strange experience to read about something you have absolutely no memory of.
Well, partly that, and of course, people who were visiting me in the hospital will tell me about it, but it's more like I go back and I think, wow, when I came out of it, I just realized last chance to go back and get my college degree, so I used a fake name, Rocky Raccoon Clark, and I got my diploma in that name from Berkeley.
Right.
And
would that take you about a half an hour to do that?
And I put on some rock concerts and then went back to Apple for a while. But it was like, I don't know, it was just a strange. The strangeness is of how the mind worked and how the memory was failing to be saved. All the stuff I was doing every day was failing to be saved. That impressed me. So I went back and studied that a lot in college, too.
Oh, good. How active are you in Apple currently? I know you're still on the payroll. Do you sit on the board? Do you go in there? Do they call you in for any kind of product development? Or
I wish I were on the board, but no, I'm not. And I don't I don't really do much. Once in a while, I talk to Steve Jobs on the phone.
If you get a new idea, what do you do with that idea?
Well, I usually talk to friends. I don't talk to Apple. Matter of fact, I do have some big ideas, but they're
yes, tell us, what's the next big thing? What's the next big thing? Tell me.
It wouldn't. You know what? It's hard to predict. When you're going after something big, you're going after something that's partly an unknown. That's where you hit the home runs. And so I've got a few way out exotic technical ideas that may or may not be possible.
Wow.
And actually, the one I'm most interested in, after searching around, finding no recent research in the area, Intel's working, saying the same things I'm saying.
Really?
So, it's a race then now.
Does that create a sense of urgency with you when something like that is happening?
No, it doesn't. My attitude is you do your work, you do it very well, what you're working on, and that's where your success comes from.
And as far as the next big thing, you're not going to share anything that, because I could, call my broker, maybe.
Well, I'd never be accurate. It's so hard to be accurate. The reason what becomes the next big thing, it's a lot less in the technology creators and more in the technology consumers. Sometimes you'll have, look at the social web pages, which are so big. They'll all do the same sorts of things, and yet one of them becomes extremely popular, one or two. Mm-hmm. It's just those little small points, the nuances, the things that just make it exactly match a human mind. You can't predict it in advance. Sometimes it's a mass thing. Somebody likes it so well, they tell their friends, they hop on it so quickly, and you've hit a million people overnight.
But you don't actually go into the development thinking like that.
The development usually goes in thinking it does this and that for people. It does something useful. Maybe it does something absolutely critical and needed. Those are the ones that are sure hits. And sometimes you can't tell. It's going to be a hit or a miss. It seems like, it's good, but you still have to fight and work and work on marketing for a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's very few that are the massive, big takeoffs like Apple, you know, Facebook, those sort of things.
Well, that being said, the iPod has really become something that is as big a part of our lives as almost any piece of technology I can think of in my lifetime. Maybe the cell phone, but the iPod is so huge. Was there any idea as to why or how that became the market which everything else is judged? There are so many MP3 players out there, but iPod has become the gold standard. Is it something that you set out to do, or is there luck involved with something like that?
I cannot speak for Apple. I can speak as a person, an actual user, who didn't prejudge it and say, I'm going to call the iPod the best one. I used to buy every music device that came out because I'm a gadget freak.
Sure.
So I had the ones from around the world. Some of them were RAM-based. Some of them were like mini-disc players. And I compared the iPod when it came out and... comparison in spreadsheet terms, real structured thinking, it has this, it doesn't have that.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know how it would fit in, but after a half a day of using it, you fall in love with something when it works the way your body wants to work, and pretty much the point of direction being one thumb. When things get down to just one thumb, somehow that was much better to me than a bunch of buttons all over the place where, you know, I have to use my eyes a lot too and thinking. And I don't know, it just felt the best.
And you're a pos-
those little tiny nuances that make it more like the human. And we at Apple believe in putting more emphasis, more work into the software to make it work the human way
being
more intuitive than vice versa, where it's all there, but you have to adapt yourself to be a remote control user of something.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad business model. I mean, as far as, the way people think and the way people use it to make it user-friendly.
Sure.
And that's, would assume that's the direction we're going to see computers continue to go in, just more and more user-friendly.
So.
You don't think they're going to be more and more user-friendly?
I mean, I hope so. From Apple, basically, I look at it as what's more important, the human or the technology? And to us, the answer is the human.
The human.
So it's very marketing-oriented. It's marketed towards the end user.
And I hope so.
Speaking of marketing, how do you like the commercials, the TV commercials for Apple versus PC?
Not only were they very funny, I was just out at an education software group called Blackboard, and they had a bunch of their own little takeoffs on it where it was the old Blackboard product versus the new. And they were playing it kind of along the same lines. And then we actually filmed a skit, real funny one, where I popped in, and I couldn't understand the old guy. He'd say, flu-flaw, flu-flaw. I couldn't understand him, and me and the new Blackboard agreed it's better when you can communicate.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
Real quick, we'll let you go here, Steve. One sentence. In a sentence, word of advice for some nerd that's out there right now that is playing with electronics and doing something in school and might feel like, you know, he's not the coolest kid in the room, but he's got lots of ideas in his head. What advice do you give that kid that's in, say, middle school right now?
I don't know. He's my own friend. Even as young as he is, he's the guy that I want to go out with, have a cup of coffee, I guess he wouldn't be drinking coffee, a Coke, and talk to and hear his ideas, you know, and tell him, you know, some of the stories I have and encourage him.
Yeah, good stuff. Well,
that's where I came from.
All right, you're a good man, Steve, and, we didn't get a clear answer on your current marital status, but sounds like something might be happening on August 8th, and if there is, we wish you the very best of luck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're a good guy. Take care, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
That's Steve Wozniak from formerly of Apple, now of money.
What a great guy.
Yeah, very cool guy.
I understand, still an Apple employee, still draws a paycheck but doesn't do anything.
Probably a relatively significant paycheck.
I would
paycheck.
Think so.
You get that, you know, when you co-found the company.
That's like you.
Didn't have time for the Hollywood buzz there. We will have that for you. Yes, that's Rob. Doesn't do anything and collects a paycheck. And lots more fun and more thrills coming up on The Big Show. We'll be right back.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.